Oh, my goodness. I'm here. I'm there. I'm everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, this is The Soul in Sports on Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, Hopewell, Virginia. This is The Soul in Sports with the crew. I'm part of the crew. I call myself M-E-M-E Richmond. You can find me on Twitter, M-E Richmond, not trying to be like rich man, but you know, I can be very rich man because I have good friends with me, and that's what makes me a rich man. Man, I'm trying to tell you, I think I got some undercover bars like no one else. I really am a star. Speaking of stars, I got to let you know about the crew, where they're coming from. How do they do? Mr. Justin J. Chris, what is going on, sir?
What's going on, Micah, man? As the song says, are you ready for some football? I'm always ready for some football. I can't wait for football to start, man. And it's another hot day. I'm getting ready to go on vacation. I'm excited. It's going to be the last day you hear me for this week. I'm going to tell you that right now. You don't make any mistakes about it. You won't hear me tomorrow. You won't hear me on Friday. But you're going to hear me today. I am here with you. What's going on?
I'm just curious, man. Have you had your ice cold water yet?
I've been drinking ice cold water all day long.
Man, I know it's not a good day unless you have a little ice cold water coming your way. Trust me, I had plenty with me working at summer camp. I had plenty of ice cold water there, brother. Plenty of ice cold water. So, I'm not the only person in the crew. Just got to make sure I get everybody in there. All right. Who do I miss out? Who do I forget? Who do I forget? And the crew. We got
Jay
Chris. Who else again?
Oh, man. It's Wally here chilling like a villain in the heat. In DMV heat. I got hype when I heard about, you know, Monday. Like, you heard, like, the football anthem, like Monday Night Football. That's an old school one. You know, Redskins training camp right around the corner, man. And we know, you know, Fox Sports Radio, 1340 AM, we covering it. So it's on and popping. So the sports about to do the darn thing.
Man, let me tell you, man. I look, everyone's so excited right now. You know, Wally's excited. I'm excited. Jay Chris is excited. So, you know, it's all good. So, here's what we're going to do. First, like we always do. Now, one Mike Knox, if he was here, you know, Mike was here. He was here. He will probably tell you how he wear his heart on his sleeve. But let me tell you, I'm like the little brother he never had because I'm just random as all get out. And trust me, I am. Anyway, with that being said, you need to know the particulars. First and foremost, if you want to join in on our conversation will be surrounding NFL training camps. You know, we got a couple of two-a-days here. We got the L.A. Rams. I call them the L.A. Scams, and then I'll tell you about that later. And the Tennessee Titans, that's my cousin's favorite team. I laugh at him every time he tells me that. Anyway, we have them we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about a little Kevin Durant today and Westbrook and Wednesdays. And Smash Williams Wednesdays. We're going to have some inspirational quotes for you later on in the show. Also, fair or foul, the things that were going on in the week so far over the course of the sports news cycle. Something is a fair, something is a foul. And you have to ask me and ask the crew which one it is, and we'll discuss that as well. Also, the Olympics, and as always, we gotta be able to let you know about our baseball, folks. We're gonna have Wally's Corner too, and it's the first week of the official SmackDown Live review. SmackDown was on last night, and that's the reason why I'm saying it that way. Just we'll talk more about it, all of that and more. So. You want to call in, 347-627-3859 is the number to call. You press that 1, and, you know, we'll go ahead and look out for you and such like that. So, without further ado, let's just go ahead and jump right in with the crew. Guys, like we played that song right there, it is time for some football. And maybe it's just me because I personally want to talk about the L.A. scams. I think it's a scam. And of course, we got our Redskins over the training camp too. But I want to get to the Redskins during Wally's Corner. Yo, Wally, J. Chris, either one of you can jump right in on this. The L.A. scams. I feel that these guys are scammers, and here's the reason why. The reason I think they're scammers is because that they have decided to move away from St. Louis, a city that was really good to them. Then they get on Hard Knocks as if they're trying to, you know, redirect and redo their whole team. And then they try to portray us if they have a great quarterback situation with Nick Foles. They end up drafting Jared Goff and pretending that this guy's going to be some kind of – now, we all know all these guys are unproven, but – they're trying to pretend as if this guy's going to be like the next founding or something. And really, at the end of the day, I'm kind of like mad about what they're doing and what they did to the city of St. Louis. Either one of you gentlemen, J. Chris, Wally, what do you expect to see out of the L.A. scams in this training camp?
Well, Mike, I don't think there's enough like what that team is about is. In terms of quarterback position, they still have a lot to work on, in my opinion. Defensively, they're a good team. They're a solid team. But, you know, in terms of the L.A. Rams, I don't think they're anything to be significantly worried about.
Well, I am here. I'd have to agree with you, Wally. I don't think they're going to do that much. And I think that, you know, the fact that they have a rookie quarterback, they just released Nick Foles. After he was asked, he asked for a release, and they obliged him. So, you know, basically they have a rookie quarterback, their number one draft pick. He's going to have to go out there and make some things happen and basically learn on the fly. I mean, you know, they might ease him into the situation, but, you know, they don't have a Nick Foles to teach him. And what can Nick Foles really teach him? He ain't been around that long himself. So yeah. I'm interested to see where Nick Foles lands, and I don't think the Rams are going to have much to offer this year as far as competition.
Now, maybe
I don't know how the heck we got to the Los Angeles Rams, because it's all about football and the DMV and around the NFC East. So let's leave that crap out there alone till we do two-a-days. We will do two-a-days today, We're starting as we started last year. You can't boo me because I am back and I'm the face that runs the place. And you're staying with Vicky. Sorry about the technical difficulties as they be, as they may. We got to upgrade this studio to the best of our abilities, guys, a little bit better. I mean, literally, as the show is starting, I kick off with the Are You Ready for Some Football? I got my whole opening monologue, as anybody who's a fan of The Incredibles will tell you, I was ready to get my monologue on. And I was disconnected. So I guess what I had wasn't great enough, or maybe it was too hot for the internet in the first place. But a lot of stuff going on. Redskins canceled today. There's buses all out that place. A storm came through yesterday and knocked down the goalposts because it's serious out here. The people are out there. The people are ready for football, gosh darn it. And it's time to talk about it. Not L.A. They're going to come. I mean, it is L.A. I mean, they do got Silicon Valley sluts and all those other kind of things out there. But it's okay. I mean, it is L.A. I love L.A. with all my heart and passion. I really, truly, truly do. But, Wally, what is up with the first opening day at camp? And I love the quarterback. I love Captain Kirk. I love his excellent take on the franchise tag. Did you hear him at the podium today?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, he's a guy that I feel like, you know, the Redskins – I feel like Kirk Cousins is a guy that he doesn't think that highly of himself. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that he's a guy – he doesn't take himself too serious. He's a team-oriented guy. He says the right things that I'm not sure – we don't know if that's him personally, but in front of the media, he says the right stuff. I expect him, because he's going to have a whole season to himself, knowing that he's preparing, like he's the starting quarterback from the get-go, from training camp through on, you know, he should play better, you know, than he did last year, because that's what happens usually, is you get prepared as the starting quarterback. Chris Baker, Swaggy P, who plays defense and for the Washington Redskins, stated himself that he believes that that Kirk Cousins should have a big year, just because of that fact that he's come into the season knowing it's his team. Robert Griffin III's team. Robert Griffin III. It's his team. He doesn't have to worry about Colt McCoy or nobody like that. So it's pretty much all on him. And I think he feels confident in that, and he's comfortable. And I think that's what we're seeing right now, especially in the opening day of training camp. You see a guy who's comfortable.
Well, I'm just upset with the fact of I'm supposed to be there. I literally, guys, for the first time ever since I've started this, you know, as I like to call our real jobs, but not the jobs, you know, our jobs, not our careers. This is our careers. We're trying to make it right here, right? Our real jobs. I'm supposed to be down there at camp, and I literally passed out. It did not wake back up. And we have a tent to actually do a show live there tomorrow. And I'm not going to be able to make it. I was hoping maybe one of you guys can come on, travel on down the mosey, dusty roads, or fall a little big road, if you will. But we're going to talk about it another day, because camp is in effect and camp is starting. And this is what we want to see. We want to see guys like the guy who is supposed to be the captain of the team come out and speak about what's going on. Now, something else is bothering me here as a football fan. You know, I'm a Redskins supporter, you know what I mean? And we're going to talk about the NFC East today as well. But is this owner, who is not loved, okay, in Snyder, by the fans, by the fan base at all. I believe, I'm not sure, was it you or I think it was you one time we were walking back from the game, and it was explaining to me the pulse of the city about him and him trying to be like Jerry Jones. Now with the discussion of bringing in Hardy, isn't that a Jerry Jones type move, or is this just a move that he continuously makes because he feels these guys can win and he doesn't care about what the fan base or the media around the city thinks?
Well, that's an interesting question. I don't want to put this one on Snyder. I feel like it's more Scott McGloin, because Scott McGloin believes in people giving individuals another chance.
He didn't believe in Robert.
Oh, not like that. I mean, guys who get in trouble. if you look at Junior Gallette, who's out for the season because he tore his Achilles. He was a guy that had some off the field issues too. And people were wary of signing him, but Scott McGloin signed him because he believes in the ability. And he said, you know, in terms of character, guys, he believed his character was fine. You look at, you know, there's rumors that, you know, you mentioned there are rumors that Hardy, you know, that Redskins had interest in Hardy from Ed Warner. And, you know, a local Redskins beat writer stated that that's not true. But, you know, we all know that when Ed Warner or somebody like that says something, there has to be some element of truth in the statement anyway. But, yeah, I don't. I think Scott McGloin, that may have been more of a Scott McGloin move. I think Scott McGloin, to me, is a guy that's willing to give individuals another chance because Scott McGloin has his demons as well. You know, he's been chronicled as a drunk, a guy who, you know, is an alcoholic. So I feel like he, when he looks at players like a Greg Hardy, like a Junior Gallet, he's like, he's Junior Gallet. He's like, okay, you know what?
I get it because the Cowboys fan keeps saying how he's fragile.
Exactly. He is very fragile. He's very fragile. But, you know, when you look at some, look at him, these two guys, you look at, okay, guys who were in trouble, Scott McGloin has, you know, been willing to give him another chance. So I just think it's more Scott McGloin. I wouldn't be surprised if Daniel Snyder's behind it. Don't get it twisted. I wouldn't be surprised because Daniel Snyder has always been a guy who's kind of enamored with a star name. I don't care, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Through any element of his growth as an owner, he's always been infatuated with that type.
He wants
of,
the name.
That
he thinks the
player.
Name brings
yeah.
in championships, right?
No, well, and he thinks they sell jerseys. That's
right. Well,
that
too. Money. This is why I love George Steinbrenner. I want to say I have nothing against Jerry Jones, the fact that he's a Cowboy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do think generally Jerry Jones tries to win. You know what I mean? And cares about his franchise. Yeah. I'm not sure a lot of owners feel that, you know, do the same thing. It's one thing to bring in the name
yeah.
to sell the jerseys, but do you care about winning championships? You know what I mean? That's the question.
Uh-huh.
Now, we got Jay Chris back here, and I want to ask this question because we are in NFC East. We are talking about the defending NFC Eastern champions, the Washington Redskins. As an Eagles fan all my life, that rolled off a little bit too easy. I can tell.
It's a little too easy for you.
That was – wow. You know, as my wife said, Wally, week one, remember? She said, baby,
yeah.
the Philadelphia Eagles don't pay you. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Yeah, I remember you telling me that.
hey, guys, look, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a break, all right? I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back. And I got some things. I knew we were talking football today. I knew Wally would be here. I knew Jay Chris is short on time today, and this is a monumental week for him. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a break. After the break, I'll come back. They are foul today because they didn't smash Williams Wednesday. So all you people talk about, I got to get over the hump. No. On hump day, you smash it. You don't get over it, baby. So we got some smash Williams inspirational quotes to you guys. But more importantly, or to go with that because nothing's more important than smashing something on a Wednesday, is fair or foul. And the question that we have for you guys today, because yesterday's conversation with as Mike and I, the best Mike and Mike Tamarino, held it down about this whole Jordan thing. Yeah, I want to add you guys into this conversation with fair or foul. And like I said, I got five key points. I worked on this personally of why I feel this certain team will win the NFC East. See what you guys think about that at the moment. We'll be right back, y'all. Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP. Hopewell, come down. A second day!
If you liked us before, you're going to love us now.
We brought Fox Sports Radio to the Tri-City.
All right, that's all I needed to know.
This is Fox Sports Radio 1340.
Marshall Cab Company invites you to give them a call at 458-3325 when you're in need of transportation. That's Marshall Cab Company, Hopewell, serving Fort Lee, the Tri-City areas, with local and long-distance transportation. Remember, Marshall Cab Company. They will go as far as your money will carry you. Marshall Cab Company, 458-3325, operating right here in Hopewell.
Down by the riverside.
Gonna build our new dream home down by the riverside. Ingram Realty is my guide. The Landings at Anchor Point, the newest riverfront neighborhood in the Appomattox. Located in Hopewell, just 1/2 mile from Fort Lee, features single-family houses, condos, and townhouses. Models open noon to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Contact Tracy Ingram Realtor at 720-8508. Located in Hopewell, contact Tracy Ingram Realtor at 720-8508.
Looking for a barbershop that does old-fashioned shaves and haircuts? Look no further than the Broadway Barbershop, 224 North Main Street in Hopewell. Kenny and Keith do hot towel shaves using a straight razor. They shave around the ears and do shoulder massage. No appointment necessary, just walk on in. They're open Tuesday through Friday and the first Saturday of the month. Check them out on Facebook, Broadway Barbershop, 224 North Main Street in Hopewell. You'll not only look great when you leave, you'll feel great as well.
Shoes need repairing, don't know where to take them? Cavalli's Leather Shop and Shoe Repair, 3514 Oaklawn Boulevard in Hopewell, is the place to go. Cavalli's features a complete line of motorcycle apparel, including vests, jackets, chaps, road packets, tool pouches, and gloves. Need a patch sewn on your biker's vest? Cavalli's is the place. They also carry Western boots and hats. That's Cavalli's Shoe Repair and Leather Shop, 3514 Oaklawn Boulevard in Hopewell. Phone 458-2016. Open 9 to 6 weekdays, 9 to 5 Saturdays.
Hi, this is Chuck Pendis speaking. Anti-termite and insect control have been in business for the last 42 years. We do federal, state, and local contracts. We do business with bug contracts. Remember, if they fly, they die. If they creep, if they crawl, if they go up your wall, we get them all. Call 458-8439. Remember, if they fly, they die. If they creep or crawl, if they go up your wall, we get them all. Call 458-8439.
Hello, this is Jess. I'm talking about an auto repair shop that does foreign and domestic, major or minor, auto repairs, diagnostics, brakes, tune-up, oil changes, and suspensions. 14 years of quality service at affordable prices in Hopewell. Kohl's Auto Repair, 914 Sycamore Avenue in Hopewell, Virginia, between Woodlawn Street and Oaklawn Boulevard. Phone number is 804-541-2700. 914 Sycamore, 804-541-2700. Kohl's Auto Repair.
Red's Tax Service, it's tax time again, and the place to go is Red's Tax Service, 105 Pickwick Avenue in Colonial Heights. Red's Tax Service has been doing my taxes for over 40 years, and I haven't gone to jail yet. Reds offers electronic filing, drop-off, walk-in, and appointments. Hours are Monday through Friday from 9 to 7, Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 1 to 5. Call 526-8715, Reds Tax Service. Fishing and golfing information are free.
Veterinarians Dr. Mary Brown and Dr. McDonald of VCA Animal Care Associates in Colonial Heights are dedicated to providing your pets with the quality care you want and they deserve. Their staff will take the time to explain treatments available for your pet and provide you education on the various pet-related issues you may encounter. Although they are available when illness and problems arise, the Animal Care Associates team is focused on preventive care. They offer Care Club, a wellness package which allows for monthly payments for vaccines, spay, neuter, dental cleaning, as well as annual screening diagnostics to detect early disease. Since our pets cannot talk, early detection is so important. Boarding facilities and grooming services are also available to round out your experience. Located at 2403 Boulevard in Colonial Heights, Animal Care Associates is the veterinary practice of choice. They are open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, and Saturdays, 8 to 1. 804-520-2273 for the best in pet care. You will not regret it.
Fox Sports Radio 1340.
They're able to step up to the microphone during the hardest of times.
Giving you Tri-City Sports.
I live there. That's my home.
I'm a homer.
We're the home of the Wizards, the Orioles, the VCU Rams, the Hopewell Blue Devils, March Madness. Welcome home. This is the new Fox Sports Radio 1340.
Hold on here. Is this a barbershop? Is this a barbershop?
It's
a barbershop. I mean, we can't talk straight in the barbershop. Then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else. You know, this ain't nothing but healthy conversation. That's all
right.
You
got to tell the pop doc.
It ain't nobody exempt in the barbershop. You know that. Ain't nobody exempt. You can talk about whoever and whatever, whenever you want to in the barbershop.
And we are back. Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP. Hopewell, the soul in sports with yours truly, Mike Perriman, and the crew. We are here. NFL is here. That's the best part about the day is that the NFL season is here. We're joined by No Foul Plays On and host also of the Hour of Power and Sports on the BDSR Network. Also your resident, Hugo, calling down from Miami. What's going on, Hugo? Miami's hot.
What's
dry
going on,
or
guys? Hot?
This is hot. Hot.
Hot and humid.
Hot and humid. Well, guys, I have an early prediction, and again, it's early, of the NFC East. Now, we know the Washington Redskins are the defending champions. The Cowboys are the team that everybody loves until they suck again. And then we know the Philadelphia Eagles are in the rebuilding process, and then you can never count out Eli Manning and the New York Football Giants. Yeah, I call him Sheila. You know what? Because this is my show, and if I want to think that the creator of his show, may he rest in peace, to Mr. Gary Marshall, made some of the greatest TV shows in the world. You know what I mean? He definitely looked like he's Richie Cunningham. So, but my five keys. All right, Jay Chris, don't be mad at me, all right? I got to keep a spade a spade. And you play poker, so you know how to keep your cards close to the best cards. A spade a spade. Five reasons why I think the Washington Redskins repeat in the NFC East this year, guys. Five reasons. I have them right here. I've worked on this. The NFC isn't exactly the greatest division, first of all, right? Let's keep it real. It's not the greatest division. I think their defense has gotten better with depth. Now, that was the problem with the Redskins also. They didn't have a lot of guys coming on and off the
You got somebody trolling?
I think Vaughn, the guy on the go, he made him go silent.
I think somebody's trolling, man. I think somebody's trolling.
We lost him again.
Vaughn, man. The Eagles have been rebuilding him over decades, rebuilding with no rings. I was like, ooh.
I'm going to guess what Mike's first point is going to be. I'm going to guess it, all right? I'm going to try to channel my inner Mike. I'm guessing one would be the offense of the Washington Redskins. Anybody agree, disagree?
You said the offense?
Say that again.
Passing offense of the Washington Redskins.
Oh, offense. Oh, okay.
Offense. I think it's the offense. You have, because you know, okay, I'm going to add you. I'm going to add why. Why I say that. You're adding Deshaun. You're in Deshaun Jackson. You're getting a rookie from TCU and Dotson, who's been compared to an A.J. Green. You got Pierre Garçon, who's probably going to be your 2-3. Crowder, as a rookie, was one of the better slot receivers in the NFC. I'm not going to call it the NFL, but in the NFC, at least the NFC East. You add on Jordan Reed, pairing that with Vernon Davis as a low-tier tight end, but you're getting a talented dude to play a low-tier tight end position as your second tight end. You compare that to how the Patriots use their two tight end offense. And so in terms of the weapons they have all around Kirk Cousins, that is one of the most formidable offensive in terms of passing game. I'm not going to say the running game. The passing game in the whole NFC East. So I'm
going to
channel that with Mike.
I can see that because you have, like you just said, you have great depth at the wide receiver position and the tight end position.
Yeah.
By the way, I was hearing this story this morning about the wide receiver and the tight end depth for the Washington Redskins. And one thing tripped me out was when they named the four tight ends, the one they said get rid of was Nyles Paul. And I was like, if you don't get rid of Vernon Davis, I'm sorry. I'm getting rid of I dropped the ball at crucial moments, Vernon Davis. That I am not what I used to be, Vernon Davis. That I am only getting by on my first 2-4 seasons of production. And I've been here for how long and haven't been productive?
Was he
not in a good situation? Is that what it really was? Mm-hmm. Not a good situation?
Well, I'll say to Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis has been a productive tight end for a while. But in this situation, the reason why Vernon Davis – I think this is the problem. Like, what people are looking at Vernon Davis currently, you're looking at him as a number one tight end. That's not his job here. So you always got to downgrade. Now you're asking Vernon Davis not to be the number one tight end. You're asking him to be the number two tight end. So what that means is that Vernon Davis is now going to go against lesser competition in terms of who's going to defend him. Jordan Reed is going to get the best matchup. So he's going to get the best safety to cover over top. He's going to have roll coverage to him. He's going to have that premier linebacker who can cover against a Jordan Reed. Vernon Davis, you have Vernon Davis and Jordan Reed on the field together. That means, okay, Vernon Davis may get an Earl Thomas or may get a Cam Chancellor or whatever. I'll give you an example. But now Jordan Reed will get that. But Vernon Davis is going to get the lesser safety, the lesser linebacker. He may even get defensive ends trying to check him on a zone blitz or something. Vernon Davis is going to have a mismatch. The Vernon Davis being the second tight end versus, say, a guy who's off the bench that you just trying to put a body on him, I would take Vernon Davis over there against anybody.
So Wally, are you saying that we're with the Washington Redskins in this position? We're looking at an Aaron Hernandez. Sorry to mention his name, but Aaron Hernandez, Rob Gronkowski, New England Patriots setup. You can go with these two tight ends right here, and you have to pick one that you're going to stop, but you can't stop either one.
Well, just because it's set up, and then you have the outside threats. Now, if you look at what the Patriots had with Aaron Hernandez and Gronk. Those two were pretty much predominantly where they're two studs. The Washington Redskins, if you threw out, if you look at from the receiver position and add in Vernon Davis. And
oh, did we lose Wiley too?
I don't think so. I think Mike is trying to make this thing work, man. Our studio soundboard is doing some strange things, but that's okay. Wiley, finish your thought.
Oh, okay. So I mean, you're not gonna have like Vernon Davis. You're not gonna put Vernon Davis is gonna have mismatches because everybody else, the defense is gonna worry about other people. Like they're not gonna worry about Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis has been used to being a guy that people look at and say, you know what, he's still a threat because he runs 4.4 speed. But now, because he's going to have so many other weapons around him, and you go, again, at the same position, the tight end position, people are going to be worried about Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed was beating double teams last year. That just means he's going to get more attention. That means Vernon Davis won't get that attention, which will make it easy for Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis won't just have to go vertical. You could say, hey, Vernon, give me a five-yard hitch. He'll get open a five-yard hitch. And he'll be open with space because everybody's worried about.
And you trust Kirk Cousins to. Well, there's only one ball to go around, obviously. But you,
of course, yeah, of course.
As a Redskins fan, you trust Kirk Cousins in this situation to be a good distributor of the ball. You think Dre Gruden is going to put him in positions necessary to be able to distribute the ball to all these pretty much a lot of weapons.
I think Kirk Cousins will go to the open dude. That's what he did last year. Unless, you know, obviously, you know, wide receivers tend to speak up and, you know, I don't call it for tight ends. Like Deshaun Jackson, to be real. Like Deshaun Jackson, he's asking for the ball. I can see him getting forced. He can be forced to football because he's such a prolific deep threat. So someone like Deshaun Jackson may demand for it to go deep. You know what I mean? So in that regard, but for now, for the tight end position, for the tight ends, the slot receivers, and Pierre Garçon, I can see him distributing the ball evenly because – again, he's gonna have open receivers like that. If he's gonna have open receivers, it's gonna be up to Kirk Cousins to locate them. But he's gonna have guys running wide open, especially with the
most stable
they have.
Quarterback in the division.
I'm not arguing. Well, we'll see. But right now, in terms of the track record, what we saw last year,
we're talking about camp. We're not talking about
camp.
This thing.
yeah. I'm with you.
Like picking the Super Bowl winner now is foolish. But we do it at the benefit of saying we picked it. I'm saying that. Give me a break.
So
Nell Carter.
Mike, Hey, Mike, finish your list, though.
What part did y'all hear before I got cut off?
I didn't hear any of it.
Wow. Are y'all serious? I was off that long?
We were about to hear number one.
Number one. All right. Well, wow. Okay. Again, that's a second monologue. Okay. see what happens when y'all walk into the real studio. You do it virtual. You know what I mean? All right. Number four on the thing is the NFC East is number five. I'm sorry. NFC East is not that stable as a division. You know, we know what's going on with the Cowboys being shaky. The Giants are who the Giants are. We don't know what we get from the Giants from year to year. The Eagles rebuilding. I know y'all heard that part because King Vaughn said something about the Eagles rebuilding. Y'all been rebuilding your whole career. So y'all don't hear none of that stuff.
You heard
okay?
that part? Yeah,
right.
We talked about
right.
that.
All right. Then I have the defense has better depth in the Washington Redskins and who they added this year. I think they're going to have the best offense in the NFC East with adding Josh Dotson to the team. We already know what they got with Pierre Garçon, Deshaun Jackson, and the tight end. Then I said we don't know what's going on. Number four is the Dallas Cowboys being a mystery. We don't know what we get with them. We don't know if they're going to be drug addicts, alcoholics, or they're going to be hurt. We don't know what we get with that team. Whatever happens, I tell you one thing about the Dallas Cowboys, they will implode somehow. Somebody might be smacking somebody else's mama. Who knows, right? And then number one, the best quarterback. Let me phrase that. That's not what I'm saying. The most stable quarterback in the division, and Kirk Cousins. So I have the NFC East, and after that, I'm going to say, so what do you think about that list there, Jay Chris? And that's the last time I heard myself talk.
Well, I think only one that.
That's crazy.
I would have to not necessarily disagree with, but I would have to slow you down.
Is
number one with the Redskins having the most stable quarterback. Before I say anything, what do you mean by the most stable? What do you mean by that?
Let me put things in a layman's term for you. Okay. We're talking about Kirk Cousins last year and the mistakes that he did not make. Right?
So we look at Kirk Cousins and how many games he played, all right, under Jay Gruden at the helm and the way the offense ran. Despite the success that he's had, he's kept it under wraps. With the talk today in reference to the franchise tag, for the first time, it's really true of his team going into the beginning of training camp, and with the weapons that he has. I mean, going off of last year in this division, again, I'm not putting nothing away from Eli Manning. He's a Super Bowl champion. I said in the fourth quarter I would take him over Peyton. I still stand by that when it comes to the fourth quarter. All the guy does is win in the fourth quarter in Eli Manning. But not knowing what that defense is going to have this year, not knowing what the Eagles have at quarterback at all on any level, last time I heard they're trying to trade our number one receiver. Okay, so that makes no sense to me. Matthews is hurt, and then you go to the Cowboys, and we're talking about Tony Romo, and the Romo-sexuals like Vaughn that continue to follow him. We don't know what we get from that guy from the year. One year he's an MVP candidate. Next year he gets hurt and comes back and gets hurt again. That brother's one sack away from having his career over. I know every quarterback is, quote-unquote, that close away, but no one closer than he is. He is, and I said this last year, he is the Derrick Rose of the NFL.
Well,
yeah, that collarbone is serious.
I definitely agree with what you said about Romo. That's for sure. That's been consistent. that has been consistent throughout his career, that he can either win you a game or he can lose you the season, and unfortunately for the Cowboys, it shouldn't really rest on the quarterback's arm that much. For them to have lost Romo and lost Dez, I mean, if any, you take the best two players off any team, they're probably not going to make the playoffs. But for them to have the results that they did. Okay, but I'm getting a lot of feedback from somebody. But as far as Kirk Cousins being the most stable quarterback, I can't disagree with you, but I can't agree with you either. And the only reason I say that, and I know everybody's probably going to get on me, is I haven't seen enough yet. I haven't seen enough.
Now, and that was our argument last year, though, Jay Chris. We hadn't seen enough.
Exactly. And I knew at that point we saw
what
you were going to say.
Well, we saw eight games the year before. We saw all 16 last year.
Right, but when I say I haven't seen enough, I want to see him come back this year and do it again.
Do it again, and that's why he's franchised, because they don't know
right,
if he can do
exactly.
it again.
Exactly, I want to see him do it again. If he does it again, then you got to put him up there with the names. You have to. You have no choice. You have to put him up there with some of the names. I'm not saying he's Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, or anything like that, but you got to put him. He's got to be
right.
in the discussion. Okay, but as far as right now, we got to see, because there's a lot of film on him now. There's plenty of film on him. Okay, when before last year, the film was adding up, and from the previous year, you had a little bit of film from a dumbed down playbook, for lack of a better term, and he was doing certain things.
I thought that playbook got opened up later in the season. I did. I thought it was from the previous year. Okay, right. It was
right.
dumbed down.
Last year he had full reins of the playbook, and we got film on him now. Now let's see what he does when offenses have a whole lot of film to game plan just for Kirk Cousins and what he likes to do.
Can I ask you this question? Is this due with the history of hatred against the Redskins? Because when you watch the guy, and I want to root against him as well, being an Eagles fan, but being here in the city, I watch him a lot more. He looks poised back there, even when I think he's going to rattle and get rattled. And I've seen him get rattled last year during the season, and I remember him coming back in that same game he looked rattled in and step up and be poised and lead his team to victory. That game the game against Tampa Bay, and the game against Philadelphia, to be honest. Both those games,
he was getting shaken around, hitting around,
but he came back and improved some things.
Again, I have to agree with you. I have to agree with you there. He was definitely cool. He was kind of Joe Cool back there. I kind of forgot what I was going to say, but I have to agree with you on that. But let me remind you, okay? I don't want you to think it's not a hate thing, because let me remind you, I was a fan of Kirk Cousins coming out of Michigan State.
You said that. I remember you saying that.
I wanted him to be an Eagle, but I was shocked when the Redskins took him after they took RG3. But, I still want to see it. Just prove it. And you have the opportunity, because I mean, we can go off this one season, okay? But we kind of did that with Romo, and Romo has won 2 playoff games his entire career.
Ha! You hear that, Vaughn? Tweet that out. 347-637-3859. Micah, your take on my prediction for the NFC East and my 5 keys to the Redskins' success in this early preseason.
Well, my thoughts is really simple, and I wish we had the sound, but I'm going to have to upload it later on. It's simply this. You like that? Sorry, my bad. I've had to kind of break back a little bit. So,
what? Yeah, I'm lost.
Nobody
heard
you. Do you like that? Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't hear you. When you said it, like you broke, like you had one of them Wally moments when Wally used to come back with his microphone.
I was way too close. I apologize. I was way too hype for no apparent reason. But hey, I am your little brother from another mother, so we can be the legitimate hype bros, and we won't woo you suck, bro. So, but my thought, I understand where you're coming from. The defense is the best defense in the East right now. My only concern.
Oh no.
I think they have. Because, I mean, one team ain't going to have this defense for another 8 games right. Because they're too busy smoking and doing drugs. Another team's been rebuilding for I don't know how long.
To the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay. Philadelphia Eagles defense coming off of firing the head coach, getting a new head coach, a new philosophy. I mean, okay. I mean, if you think so. I'm not going to argue. You know the Eagles better than I do. You know the Eagles better than I do, but you know you could be talking from your honest fandom. But you know
I'm talking from what I saw on the football field. I tell y'all last year that I went into last year, and even Jay Chris said I don't know, Mike. Let's see about. Remember I said that Fletcher Cox is the number 2 defensive tackle in football. Remember I made that statement last year, guys. And according to Madden Football, I was right. He's the number 2 great defensive tackle in the NFL. He got paid like the number 2 defensive tackle in all the NFL. Outside
who's
of
number
Donaldson,
one?
Listen, what's my man out in L.A.? Donaldson, or I can't pronounce.
Oh,
his
he a
name.
Beast.
That's his
Yo,
name.
Donaldson.
Yeah, he's a monster.
Right, he a beast.
And I have nothing against him. I'm taking nothing from Ndamukong Suh. He had a bad last year. So when you have a bad year.
Yeah.
Somebody goes above you, you get knocked down a peg. He's still one that he's still. I would take him over. You know, I still take.
I'm with you. I would take two over anybody. I don't care. I don't care how nasty he is. I would take him over anybody.
I like people to kick people on the balls personally.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Well,
I don't believe in character in football. I don't believe in character in football.
No, wrong sport for that.
So, hold on. So we don't believe in character in football. We don't believe in character in football, but we do believe in character on the basketball court.
I don't believe character, period, unless you drive buckets for me. Unless you drive buckets for me.
You know what? Good point. I didn't knock your favorite hater that you like to hate in Draymond Green from kicking in the nuts. I just said, you know, I don't think you kicked him in the nuts on purpose. That's all I ever said. It's a sport. Anything goes. I grew up watching Charles Oakley, okay? I grab you, push you, pull your pants down. It didn't matter if you stopped him from getting buckets. That's how you play the game. So, but – I do. I think the Eagles are good. But we're gonna move on real fast. We got 2 days, guys. Uh-huh. I'm gonna go up NFL for a second. I'm going to go with Tennessee Titans and the Los Angeles Rams, guys. Tennessee and Los Angeles. Last year, the Tennessee Titans were 3-13 after a great 2-0 start. Right. The world was set on fire. Because the quarterbacks that should have went to Philadelphia, Marcus Mariota went to get old Tennessee and went down there, and now he got himself a good old running back. Or do we? Because maybe he wasn't that good after all, because he didn't have the Dallas Cowboys offensive line running behind him. But that's okay. 3-13 is the Tennessee Titans, and this year they looked to improve upon that record. Went out and got themselves a nice good old receiver. And can this be the team that can finally get over the hump and not be in last place this year? That is the question. I'm going to start off with you, Micah. They were 3-13. You heard me. I said 3-13. What's the record going to be?
Who are you and what have you done with Mike Pierman Sr.?
Oh, he's still here. That was my alter ego, Uncle Festus.
Oh, okay. I didn't know Luke Gallows.
I've been healed by the Straight Edge Society.
Yeah, pretty much. That's right. when it comes down to it, everyone on this panel already knows who my team in this same division is. So with the exception of losing to them twice, I would say that there's a good chance Marcus Mariota in his second year, better defense, better philosophy. I believe they could probably be a 500 team at the very least because, you know, the AFC South is actually going to be a competitive division more than people think. My Colts will not just run away with this division. They're going to have to scrap for every division game because Jacksonville is going to be good. Tennessee
this
is going
division
to be
goes
good.
To, this division year. Goes to the Texans.
Yeah, well, please. Who's that quarterback again? Brock Osweiler? Brock Osweiler.
This division goes to the Texans. I know that's your division. I know you're a fan. But, look, Mike Knox may not know when and where he may not be around this year, so I'm just giving out stuff early. Tennessee,
they have good defense. They have better defense. They have better defense than a wide receiver core. I wouldn't mind giving Tennessee the nod. If they had a better defense and a wide receiving core, they could actually help Marcus out a little bit more.
I think they got the best receiving core in the division. You picked up the boy from Philadelphia out of Notre Dame, okay? And we know how rookie receivers in this league are. Most of them who are picked that high come and they do produce. And they got, in my opinion, outside of Bryant, Dez, and the other Bryant in Pittsburgh, I think DeAndre Hopkins is the third best receiver in football. That's just my opinion.
Okay. No problem. So why is it so with all that? Why do you think Houston is going to – just because you got J.J. Watt?
Well, we're not talking about Houston. I just told you my favorite. We're talking about Tennessee
okay,
Titans.
That's fine.
What will be their record? Are you saying they're going 500? Are they going 8-8?
500,
8-8 for Micah. Wale, what is their record?
This is going to be a tough one. I think they should be improving. They're meeting with Andre Johnson. I think Andre Johnson is going to visit with the Titans as well. Mariota did better than what I expected. I do like the sign. I didn't think he was going to do that well, to be honest with you. He did better than what I expected. Say again?
Not in that offense. I thought he was going to play on that offense. That was my whole thing. I didn't think it would last without a Chip Kelly kind of offense behind him, and he did.
His stats, that's what surprised me. He actually had some numbers. I was like, okay. Then you add, like, DeMarco Murray. I do like DeMarco Murray. I think having Murray with Mariota in the backfield, it does pose a threat. Wide receivers, they're getting better. They're young, but they do need that veteran guy. And I think Andre Johnson would make them better because he knows a lot. Regardless of where his skills are at, he could still help those guys get better. Defensively, I think they still have a couple guys they need to improve to take it over the top. They were 3-13 last season. I can put them at 6-10.
6-10 for Wally. Join the Soul in Sports on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM WHAP every weekday from 5 to 7. And make sure you follow us on the Twitter at Soul N Sports on the Twitter. Join us right now at 347-637-3859 as we're doing our NFL Two-A-Day Year 2 around here. It's our second time around. 6-10 for Wally. Justin is in and out today. He is, like I said, he got a big weekend coming up. He's getting ready to go away, so he'll call us back in with his picks. If not, we'll get him out there on the Twitter page later. So I'm also going to go with the 6-10 record myself is where I have the Tennessee Titans right now. I think they're improved, and I think if you can go from 3 wins to 6 wins, that's a step in the right direction. They get some receivers in there, get to upboost their offensive line. To me, what they need to upboost the defense, I think, for Tennessee is there. They're not highly touted it. Defense, but they've been solid for the last 3 years,
Yeah.
So I think the defense will hold on. It's all about the offense. So if this team does go 8-8, I'm not surprised with them.
Uh-huh.
Let's now travel over to Justin. Jay Chris is back here. Jay Chris, Tennessee Titans record before we move on to Los Angeles Rams.
I have them at I think they're a 5-11 team.
5-12.
I don't think 5-12, whatever the number is. 5-11. I don't think they'll be that good. Yeah, they do have the running back with DeMarco Murray now, and Marcus Mariota back there. But you know, like everyone said, Jacksonville is going to be tougher this year. Houston's going to be tougher this year. The Colts will be with whatever they'll be. Not really sure what they'll be, but Andrew Luck, we know, is a heck of a talent back there. I think they're going to struggle. I do think they're going to struggle. I see a sophomore jinx coming from Marcus Mariota. And yeah, 5-11 team. I think DeMarco Murray, if he is who he's supposed to be, I think DeMarco Murray wins them three games, but I really don't think much of that is I don't think much to do about anything over there in Tennessee. 5-11.
Now, I know I jumped in the conversation, and I guess you guys were talking about Nick Foles and him being released right before training camp start. Before we go into the Los Angeles Rams, who were 7-9 last year in this probably the most competitive division in the NFL, the NFC West.
Oh, yeah.
Would you have rather kept Nick Foles than bring in Sam Bafford, Jay Chris, at this stage? Because, I mean, with the Eagles, at least he was performing. Again, I always think a quarterback is as good as its system. That's why I never blamed Robert and Washington. I never blamed – I don't blame – even when Campbell was in Washington, he went through five offensive coordinators in 5 years, yet the city wanted to blame Campbell. I don't get that. I think it's too much pressure on quarterbacks, if that makes any sense, because it's all about the system. You know what I mean? To me, it's all about a system. So would you have kept him over Sam Bafford?
I personally would have kept him over Sam Bradford. At the time of the trade, yes.
Does he get another job?
He should get another job. I mean, it's a lot of I can't think of what team could really be in need of a quarterback right now.
San Francisco
maybe
pick him up?
That would be interesting. Wouldn't that be interesting? I mean maybe the job, I know they have Geno and Fitzpatrick out in New York, but he should have a job, but I don't know where he's going to work. Maybe Chicago. I don't know what their quarterback situation is off the top of my head.
He'll get a job.
He should get a job. Would I have kept? I would have kept Foles for the simple fact that he can grow. You want to see where he can grow into. You basically gave him a season and a half, or maybe a half a season, whatever. And after a season and a half, he basically got one under Reed, or half a season under Reed, and like a half a season under Chip Kelly after Michael Vick went down. And you want to see what he grows into. I mean, he's a tall guy. He's an athletic guy, former basketball player. He could have grown into something. Now, he didn't do well with the Rams. Who can do well with the Rams if you're running for your life every time you snap the ball?
Case Keenum.
I would have kept him over Brad. Absolutely.
All right, real fast. Rams record, 7-9 last year, NFC West. Every single time we think the Rams are going to suck, this defense leads them to almost a 500 record or just under a 500 record in this division. They finished two back last year in the division. Cardinals ran away with it at 13-3. Seahawks were 10-6. They were 7-9. I'm going to start off with you, Micah. What will be the Los Angeles Rams record this year?
New quarterback, unproven, 500, because the defense is going to keep them in games.
Are you going to play the 500 game? That's like saying, they're going to win in game seven. Just checking. Only the first day of 2 days. Just checking. What would be that? What was I saying? You went 8-8 with Tennessee. I'm just saying, seems like you might be playing the easy road up this way when the season's over. You could say, well, hey, they didn't have a losing record. Thanks, I picked them to be up. Yeah, it's what it's all about. I'm just teasing you, dog. Why?
Hey, that's like picking. Grant. That's like picking without the point.
This right. is tough. Like, this is whack. Actually tough. This is tough. Their defense is so real to me.
They got a real running back.
They do, and they got a good running game.
Excited about
it. You know what? They got a good.
Hey, Wally,
don't forget
they lost their safety. They lost their safety.
They do. They do. That's true. But I'm a big fan of a team that plays tough. Like, they got a good running game. So they're gonna run the. And they got a good defensive front. You know what? This is a formula to be over 500. This is really it's a winning formula traditionally in football. So I'm gonna go on a limb. I'm gonna say 10-6. I'm going on a limb. 10-6.
10-6. All right. 10-6. Wow. Pulling the trigger like I did last year in a couple of picks there. Uncle Jay, what you got?
I think they're 9-17. I think this move back to LA kind of helps them as far as try. They don't have to travel halfway across the country anymore to play conference games.
Yeah, that was so stupid.
I think it helps them out. I think they'll steal one from the Cardinals. I think they can. I think they can mess around and steal one from the Seahawks.
They'll always be the Seahawks.
Yeah, absolutely right. And they don't have to travel as far to go to Seattle anymore. And I think they'll take both of them from San Francisco. So, you know, I think they'll be a decent team. The only question right now, in my opinion, is quarterback.
Totally
okay,
agree.
And for me to pick them to go 9, what I say? 9-7. And you know, they just released Foles. Foles asked for a release, and they obliged. He wanted a release.
Their regular season starts off with on the road against 49ers, then Seattle, then Tampa Bay, then the Cardinals, then Buffalo, then the Lions, then the Giants, then Carolina. They got a tough schedule. Then the Jets, 1 o'clock game. You know what that means? Western teams going east at a 1 o'clock game. Then you got them, and then you got them back home against Miami. Then you got them on the road in New Orleans. Then on the road against the Patriots. On the road, at home against Atlanta. On the road against Seattle. Then the last two games at home, 49ers and Cardinals.
I'm sorry, did I miss something? Did the Rams come in first place last year?
This schedule is brutal.
Wow.
Good God.
I'm glad you
San Francisco
glad you told me that.
A cupcake team, though. The Niners are a cupcake. They're a cupcake team anyway.
The Rams, I'm changing my record. The Rams are going to 6-10.
Because guess what, Uncle Jay? I had them 6-10, bro. and that's the luxury that normally we all had in front of our, you know, in the studio. We look at the schedule and we go over the schedule. So I kind of did a little bait and switch on that one on purpose when I did that. Yeah, I got them 6-10 also. So I get you now that I read the schedule, Wally and Micah. You want to change your picks here, guys? You still going 10-6, Wally?
Yeah, I'm still going 10-6, man. You know, I can't. Scared money don't make money. Scared money don't make money. I feel like the formula.
Who's going to be their quarterback, Wally?
He's Keenan. But you know what?
Don't forget they drafted the quarterback number.
Oh yeah, but that'll be eventually. I think he'll start eventually. Eventually he'll start. Maybe he'll probably beat him out. Who knows? But my thing is that like this team can beat teams without a quarterback. They've shown
if they
it.
Go,
they
if
beat Seattle without a quarterback.
If they go 10-6, that quarterback is not going to play.
Oh yeah, whoever wins the competition will be the starter for the whole year. That's how I look at it. It's a competition.
Please remind me of the quarterback the number one draft pick's name. I forgot it. Carson Wentz.
Jared Goff.
If he does not start the season, he will not play this year if they go on 10-6.
I agree. He won't start this year. If he doesn't play again, he won't start.
And he may not play next year.
I agree. I'm not going to argue. I agree both.
I don't believe in any one of these quarterbacks for one reason. Y'all can laugh at me when you want to. There has never been a 1-2 pick for quarterbacks in the NFL and Madden football than have them ranked in the top 10 rookie class. They're not even in the top 15 rookies on the game. Even Madden football don't believe in these guys. And one of them is my quarterback. So, Madden, you're wrong. 3-4-6.
Like I said, we said before that these two quarterbacks weren't anything special. So, I mean, we said that last year or during the draft.
Unfortunately, we did. I hate to do that, but we did. I mean, we talked about they're not good. But and just real fast, I didn't do it just to be fair to our listeners, audience out there, I had it for a second. It went away. I think the Tennessee schedule. But we'll go through that another day. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, another
3-4-7-3-8-5-9. As we are pre-empted today, guys, we'll be getting off at 6:30 as the Colorado Rockies invade Camden Yards if this weather doesn't hold up. But either way, we'll be getting off here at 6:30 today, guys. So we're going to go ahead and mosey on through the show and get some of the things out the way because it is a fair or foul Wednesday. And I'm going to start off right here, right now. SmackDown Live Review. I'll bring that. You know, I'll do that real fast because I don't have much to say about this, Micah. And King Vaughn, I know you're listening. You're out there. You're on social media. To the stars. I had a hard, difficult time watching SmackDown Live. when they did their six-pack challenge, did anybody else who watched this program feel like John Cena was, like, completely out of place? I said he was going to SmackDown. It was the right move for him to go to SmackDown. But this roster is so unbelievable, in my opinion, that the way Raw was, SmackDown had to kind of follow suit with that. And to me, just my opinion, they completely laid an egg. Now, I will say this much, as I always say, let's see it unfold. Let's see what's going to happen. Let's see if they're going to have stores. We see Shelton Benjamin's coming back in. Let's see what happened. And you like how I dropped that knowledge yesterday right there, Michael, and I'm sure he would be back. Let's wait and see. I was not happy with Dolph Ziggler. Now, that's what I got really mad about, Micah. I said when it came to Jordan yesterday, it's never too little too late. But when I watched last night's SmackDown, I so said Dolph Ziggler, too late. The fans have lost their connection with him. You know what I mean? So for Dolph to have won the six-pack challenge to go on to SummerSlam to challenge Dean hashtag I'm the Ambrose guy, I don't know about that. They wanted to touch base and touch any kind of stratosphere that Monday Night Raw touched, they would have given it to Bray Wyatt. That was the better move, or Apollo 2, but not to Dolph Ziggler. That's my other thing. Now, the women's division. Now, we know there's going to be belts that are coming for both shows, but I want to believe in this women's division. I want to believe in Becky Lynch. I am a huge fan of Flamay Mignon herself, Mrs. Fatu. However, I thought that that was the corniest segment I've seen in professional wrestling since I've seen the Shockmaster come through the door. And if for someone to tweet out that Eve Marie taking a Chris Jericho approach by not talking was Hall of Fame-esque, I almost wanted to pull your wrestling card. Because there is nothing, and I mean nothing, Hall of Fame about Eve Marie. Unless he's, you know, in the back with the boys, because we all know what the girls are there for in the first place, to keep the boys happy on the road. Micah, your take on SmackDown yesterday.
First of all, what you just said about the one all red everything, Eve Marie. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is why we're the best Mike and Mike tandem on radio today.
I know people clapping
the show for
their
television sports fans, because when we see it, we call it as we see it. Yeah, Eve Marie, all red everything, all red crap. That's what that was. That was
That was crap. That was crap.
my wife and I was looking at her last night, and my wife was saying, she looked like she got a uniboob. Can we say that?
Yeah, you just did. I love Carmella, but she's completely out of place without Kath and Enzo.
Carmella is out of place without Kath and Enzo.
Alexa Bliss scene. I don't know. I was not, again, I don't want to dump on them. You know what I mean? Let's not push them down the toilet yet like that little nugget that just quite won't flush. Let's give them hope. But after the first episode, it's a very blend hope. And we're going to have a SmackDown pay-per-view live in our backyard as Backlash has been announced for September 11th. So,
Wally J. Chris and Vaughn got to come. Wally J. Chris and Vaughn have to come. That is my birthday. Y'all are all coming. We're going to have, like, some dinner before we go out, and we're going to Kirk out and have a good time at Backlash. Y'all got to come down. It's like it's important.
Y'all heard the man.
Make it happen.
Home front.
St. Chris said make it happen, Captain.
Yes.
Smackdown, though. I mean.
What day is this?
September 11th, a Sunday.
Oh, September 11th. Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a murder.
Actually, hold on. Is that the same week that our Robert Griffin comes back to town?
No, it's 4 weeks. That's four.
I'm at that game.
Oh, that's a Sunday. That's a football day. Oh, no.
It's a football evening. It's a football evening. Okay.
Check the football. Check to see what the football game is.
And that's week one, and the Redskins play Monday Night Football against the Steelers. So you can make
it.
Okay. There you have it. So
yeah, we deal with the culture, man. By the way,
I wanted to
tell you. You want to go to the break and then you get my thoughts?
No, real fast. Give our grades, then we take the break.
SmackDown grade, it was definitely a three. It was a three. Intercontinental Championship reigns. Cody Rhodes, dashing Cody Rhodes.
Oh, you're a punk. You're a punk for that. I love Cody. Does nothing wrong. However, I'm going to give it 2.5. out of five, because I you know, I hold wrestling in a higher esteem than most of you guys do, and I try to watch it from a different point of view than you guys watch it from. And the point of view and the vantage point in which I watched it, I was completely disappointed in the show. We knew from the draft it was going to be disappointing, but when they gave us the product and I said, hey, let's wait to see, it was even still less disappointing. I give it, this is how bad I didn't like the show. It gets 2.5 pulled out the trash cans, hardcore title championships by Mick Foley to Vince McMahon. It was trash. It was trash. Bray Wyatt should have won this main event to go on a SummerSlam to main event with Dean Ambrose, because you would have then a Shield versus Wyatt, a rivalry that's renewed. They had one-on-ones before. It would have made the most perfect sense. And for whatever reason, the WWE decided to pull Dolph Ziggler out of the hat. And again, I'm a huge Dolph Ziggler fan. I know that SmackDown's supposed to be built on being the giving you the chances. But he's had chances after chances after chances, and he's never delivered because he hasn't evolved
his
character. His injuries
couldn't have been doing anything.
He hasn't evolved his character.
He's
like having a Pokemon you forget to train.
You know
what I'm saying? That's what he is. Dolph Ziggler's that Pokemon that you don't train because you don't trust his talents enough that he could beat somebody on the man. And I love Dolph Ziggler. The match is going to be great, but that's all we're going to get. 347-637-385. Now we're going to take a break. We're going to come right back. There are Fast Smash Williams Wednesday, and we're going to get up out of here, y'all. We'll be right back, y'all. Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP.
If you liked us before, you're going to love us now.
We brought Fox Sports Radio to the Tri-City.
All right, that's all I needed to know.
This is Fox Sports Radio 1340.
Honda Small Engines, 1000 Temple Avenue, Colonial Heights. They carry lawnmowers, vacuums, blowers, chainsaws, hedge clippers, gas trimmers, and engine parts. Connors has a full repair shop. Connors Small Engines has been in business over 45 years. They have master brands like Toro, Still, Briggs & Stratton, Kohler, Arians, and Kawasaki. That's Connors Small Engines. They're located at 1000 Temple Avenue. Call 526-7108. And say hello to Murphy the Cat.
Hello, this is Ike Forrest, the gutter man. We do seamless gutters. We make them right on the job. No job too great or too small. Also, we install different gutter guards for your needs, such as pine tags or leaves. Clean gutters is a cinch, and our price is unbelievable. Call me, Ike Forrest, at 640-0798 today for our Christmas and Valentine's special. Give your wife a long-lasting gift this year. New gutters or clean gutters, call Ike today, 640-0798.
Hey there, this is Alex Scholl with Liberty Firearms and Surplus with all your big boy toys. Used guns, new guns, AK-47s, long rifles, military surplus, silver, gold coins, jewelry, power tools, and generators. All your big boy toys at Liberty Firearm and Surplus, Hopewell Pawn and Loan. 442 South 15th Avenue, across from Wells Fargo and Hopewell. That's Liberty Firearms and Surplus, Hopewell Pawn and Loan, 442 South 15th Avenue, across from Wells Fargo and Hopewell, with all your big boy toys.
Commonwealth Dentistry, located at 456 Charles Dimmock Parkway in Cronin Heights, and on 4th and Broadway in Hopewell, provide trusted and comfortable dental care for the entire family. Doctors Beltrami, Dixon, and Stafford and their staff provide only the best that modern dentistry has to offer. They use the latest in technology and procedures to provide your care. They specialize in children, family, and cosmetic dentistry, crowns on your first visit, and teeth implants. They keep up with the latest dental procedures and pride themselves on patient care. They accept many dental insurance plans. Call now for your appointment at 520-4088 or in Hopewell at 458-3004. Why Commonwealth Dentistry? They are simply the best. That number again is 520-4088 or in Hopewell at 458-3004. This is Wynn Hastie. Take it from me. I go there.
Fox Sports Radio 1340.
They're able to step up to the microphone during the hardest of times.
Giving you Tri-City sports.
I live there. That's my home.
I'm a homer.
We're the home of the Wizards, the Orioles, the VCU Rams, the Hopewell Blue Devils, March Madness. Welcome home. This is the new Fox Sports Radio 1340.
And we are back, and we are live right here in the Solon Sports Studios, 347-637-3859. We just did our two-a-days, guys. We're going back to last year. We got the Tennessee Titans. Micah got them 8-8. Me and Wally got them 6-10. Jay Chris 5-11. Then Jay Chris and I went over to the Los Angeles Rams at 6-10 record. Micah, again, keeping that safe distance of an 8-8 record. And Wally pulling the trigger, going 10-6 with the second-year quarterback in Marcus Mariota. But fair or foul is the program, it's the name of the show today. And I'm going to start off right here, right now. Starting with you, Wally, going to you, Jay Chris, second. Fair or foul, the criticism that Michael Jordan has gotten over donating funds?
Foul. He donated. He did what he had to do. He did it. You know what I mean? Like he spoke up. We're talking about a guy who, in terms of black culture, has been a guy that is iconic because of his shoes and what he's done for the game of basketball being a black sport. Okay, basketball's a black sport, and he's iconic. And for him to speak up, you know, it just says volumes. You know what I mean? So, and what he said, I agree with. You know what I mean? Like it's. We don't want to see senseless murders for cops, and we don't want to see senseless murder and abuse for black or African American, excuse me. So, in my opinion, what he said is foul. He's getting any type of negative feedback because he spoke up, and that's all we want people to do is speak up.
Jay Chris, fair or foul? The criticism that his arrogance has gotten.
I think it's absolutely foul. I mean, people have been clamoring for him to speak up, me included. All right,
right.
Me included. Mike, you and I have had conversations many times.
Oh,
a couple of weeks ago. He finally said something, and not only did he say something, but he donated to $1 million each to two different causes. Now one, Kevin Blackstone, I'm putting his name out there. He said, Kevin Blackstone tweeted out or said something about why didn't he donate to Black Lives Matter? Well, okay, here's the thing. Last time I checked, I don't know nothing about nothing, but last time I checked, Black Lives Matter is a movement, not necessarily an organization, and that's where a lot of things get confusing to me. But okay,
they do got a site though. There is a hosted site
There's a site because nowadays there's a site. I bet you for the civil rights movement there would have been a site too.
No, actually, but these are two. There are a couple of chicks who started it. They have their. It's an organization.
If they have monetized the movement, okay, that's one thing. But you know, the civil rights movement could have also been monetized within the social media era. All right, but here's what I'm saying. Michael Jordan, I gave him a little bit of criticism of some ifs the other day, right? Michael Jordan said what he felt, okay? This is what he felt. Michael Jordan donated to what he wanted to donate to, okay? Don't tell this man if he finally has spoken up and said something, great. He donated money. You can't tell this man what he should have given his money to. He gave his money to two organizations that are on opposite sides of this movement, in a sense. Okay, no, I know. I don't think it's cops against Black Lives Matter, but you know, these are the two different organizations that are kind of banging heads right now. Okay, and furthermore, who is anybody? I mean, here's where the real problem comes in, and I've said this on this show before. I've said it on my show before. When folks want somebody to speak up, and when people of celebrity status or whatever the case may be speak up, and they don't say exactly what you want them to say, you have a problem. But they're not here to say what you want them to say. They're here to say what they feel. Now, if Michael Jordan came out and said, you know, people need to stop killing these cops, it makes no sense, blah blah blah, that's what he feels. Okay, you can have an opinion of what he feels. But you can't criticize the man for not saying certain things. He said what he wanted to say, and he said what he felt. Now, if you don't like it, you don't like it. You can have that opinion. But
in the words of Jamil Hill, it's a double-edged sword. You know what I mean? He's damned if you do, he's damned if he doesn't. You know, and what you just said is exactly what – and what you said is what she said as well as, you know, you ask these black athletes to come out and for them to be conscious and say something, and you get mad when they don't say or what you want them to say. You know what I mean? And there's some questions. I love Richard Sherman as a football player and as a man, of the things I've learned about him and his intelligence. But he made some comments also in an interview in a Q&A that he had that I didn't, you know, quite agree with as well. Because he's one of those guys that took the stance on we need to look in the mirror and see how we're the problem in our own communities. When we know, let's keep it real, as she elegantly put out. I wish I had the clip from Mike from His and Hers this morning when she put out how the government let us down. All this it's all comes down. It's all trickle down effect. There's no resources. Things like having no resources and having poverty levels and the way things are in urban communities is the biggest factor to what really happens. But fair or foul, moving on out of that situation.
Mike, can I say something real quick? I just have to make this statement. When you say they don't have the resources, you're absolutely right, and I can second that. I coach at a school, a predominantly black school. I coach at a school where I have a study hall for these kids, and they come and they don't have books for certain subjects because the school is not giving enough money. Public school, and so they get money from the government. They're not giving enough money to have textbooks for all of the kids, and that's a problem. I see that as a huge problem. That's all I wanted to say about that. Go ahead.
Vaughn tweeted that about Dolph Ziggler not evolving. That's funny. Fair or foul? Is it fair, Micah, for us to call Holly Holmes the next Buster Douglas? The one-hit wonder. She came and she shocked the world by beating Ronda Rousey's butt. And then since then, she's done nothing. Like he did, Buster Douglas, knocking out Mike Tyson, did nothing after his career. Fair or foul, calling Holly Holmes Buster Douglas?
I think it's totally foul to call Holly Holmes the new Buster Douglas. We are in a different sport. MMA is not like boxing, and there are different things and factors and fighting styles that go against each other that, you know, like a boxer who's maybe an outboxer or a defensive boxer can still go down if the boxer who's a power puncher catches him with one good power punch. He can still go down. Holly Holmes was able to counteract Ronda Rousey's fighting ability because she had better boxing ability. So when it came to the striking styles, she had an advantage, and she wasn't going to go ahead and wrestle with Ronda because she knew she was going to lose in that respect. She fought someone who was a better wrestler than Ronda, in my opinion, and was able to get her down, and when she got her down, that was a wrap. It's just like when Hunt and Brock Lesnar fought each other. Hunt can go to with a guy who can strike it back against him, but when he fought a guy who primarily wrestles, well, we saw the end results. Fake testing results may vary. So it's foul to call her the Buster Douglas. She was undefeated before she went against Ronda Rousey, and depending on what kind of style of fighter she's going to fight, she can still win and still be a good star for the UFC.
Go to me.
Yeah, I was coming to you, buddy, because I didn't like his response. Go ahead.
I think it's fair and foul. Okay, and let me tell you why. Everything you said, Mike, is true. She beat the biggest and the baddest, right? And then she hasn't done anything yet. However, she's only had two fights. Okay, so foul to call her Buster Douglas right now, but I think it's completely fair to get yourself prepared to call her Buster Douglas in a little while.
Wally, fair or foul? Wally Holmes being the next Buster Douglas.
I think it's fair. I mean, look at the track record. You just said Mike Tyson was the baddest dude on the planet. Ronda Rousey was the baddest chick on the planet. They both had detractors. People wanted to see those cats knocked out. Some of them did. You know what I mean? So when it happened, it was like, wow. It was like, oh, snap. They got knocked out. I think in terms of that, when you look at that and then how they followed up after it, I think it's totally fair. I think the only thing different is Buster Douglas got super fat and started to eat forever. And Holly Holmes is still chill. So that's only different, though. But they're about the same.
I call it completely fair because she had to hype the way he had to hype of beating Mike Tyson, actually way more than beating Mike Tyson, because with all due respect towards Buster Douglas, who I've interviewed on this program, he went in to fight on Mike Tyson that wasn't prepared to fight. We all know the story of Mike Tyson that backed up that happened with that. Okay, Ronda Rousey was on top of the world. Ronda Rousey was supposed to be unbeatable. Mike Tyson coming into that fight, if you go back and remember, people didn't think Buster could do it, but people was in shock. I mean, it was shocking that Buster did it, but we knew Mike had issues going into that fight. But I'm saying Ronda had no excuse and got demolished in two rounds. And since that time, like Buster Douglas, her next two fights, she lost her title by getting demolished by Misha Cupcake Tate, and then she lost a fight that she refused to adjust to at the next fight that we just saw Saturday, where she was completely outclassed and outboxed in that fight. So I call that completely fair. Fair or foul? fair or foul? Right here, right now. Russell Westbrook is completely upset with Kevin Durant. It's now being said that Kevin Durant told him that he was coming back to Oklahoma City for one more year at least to help them go ahead and win a championship. Fair or foul? A, is this true? Well, Russell said it himself, so we don't know if it's – this has come out of Westbrook's mouth and he's upset with Kevin Durant. Fair or foul? Does he have a right to be upset with Kevin Durant, Michael?
The corner phrase from when you talk about Jordan's line, he needs to look in the mirror and get mad at himself. Because my honest opinion is that it's foul because I believe that he's the reason why Kevin Durant left. I believe that, you know, outside of Kevin Durant's own turnover struggles when it came to crunch time, that he was trying to do his best to work with a guy that is – his game is out of control sometimes. And when he's on, when Westbrook is on, he's pretty much the best point guard in the league. And there's nothing to stop him. But when he's off, the brother's like a Tony Romo, in a playoff game. He's just off. He just nothing's going to go right. Nothing's going to happen. You might as well come and just have to lose that game. So it's foul that he feels that way because he should think that maybe Kevin Durant left because of him.
Wally, why? Fair or foul?
You mean like, Mike? I want to make sure I get this right too. Foul into the terms of set in the terms that Kevin Durant did Russell Westbrook dirty.
Yes, and fair.
Oh, it's foul. It's foul. If Kevin Durant told Russell Westbrook, and if it's true, if he told Russell Westbrook he'll be coming back, and then all of a sudden he goes to the Golden State, they grew up together, regardless of whatever. They grew up together. They do have a bond. And you tell a dude that you know you're cool. You may disagree with them on the court. Or at some levels, but you tell that dude, you know what, I'm not sure, then that's fine. But then you tell the dude that you're going to stay and leave, knowing that money is on the line for that dude too at the same time, it's foul. It's foul all around the board is foul. You know what I mean?
Uncle
just be
James,
real,
fair
just real,
foul.
Be real with somebody.
I agree. Fair or foul.
Are his feelings fair or foul, or what Kevin Durant did fair or foul?
You're like Wally. I guess that's an open-ended question. His feelings.
Yeah.
Well, the question is: Did Kevin Durant do him dirty? Fair or foul?
Kevin Durant did him dirty. However, I mean, you know, Russell Westbrook. Who are you? You're a player. You're a pawn. Okay. I know you're an all-star. I get it. You're a great player. Okay, but you're a player in this. You're not paying his bills, as far as I know. Okay, you're not putting anything towards his future. Okay, so Russell, I'm sorry. I you're one of my favorite players in the league. I gotta be honest with you. You're probably one of my favorite players in the league right now. But let's be honest. Kevin Durant is a grown man. If he told you he's gonna stay and then he changed his mind, then he changed his mind. Come on, man. Man up. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Did you just really call him a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle? He is on track to be one of the most men in basketball.
Act like if he puts a headband around his eyes, he don't look. Vaughn, don't tweet that just in case we get him on the show one day. Don't put that out there, Vaughn. Do not. Okay?
Smash Williams Wednesday. Today I will do what others won't, so tomorrow I can accomplish what others can't. Jerry Rice. You think training's hard? Try losing. Nike. Smash Williams Wednesday, baby. No reason to ever, ever, ever be depressed on Smash Williams Wednesday because I'm a smash, baby. Now, fair or foul, Marcus Vick and the situation that's going on with him, Wally. I'm going to let you explain a little bit what's actually going on with
Marcus
Vick. Is it the spread of the hurt or is it what he got?
You know, yes, sir.
Or was it him getting chased through gunned down? He had a gun and was getting chased by the cops. Which one?
Well, you know, it's the gift that keeps on giving, supposedly. That's what's going on. So anyway, Marcus Vick and I guess Shady McCoy were dealing with the same chick or whatnot, and Marcus, I guess the chick had slapped with Shady McCoy, and Marcus Vick is saying that Shady McCoy gave the chick the sauce and the chick gave him the sauce. So he was saying that Shady McCoy is dipping in some sauce. So, and, you know, he's not clean. You know what I mean? So, and so for me, Marcus Vick need to keep that stuff in house. You don't need to take – why are you going to tell your business? That's foul in so many different ways. That's foul on you, and that's foul on Shady. Like, you he's acting shady. Like, don't do that. You don't,
yeah, you
now
don't do that.
All
that's,
chicks that see you don't think you got the sauce. Yeah, it's a violation. Break a man code. Yeah. So it's foul on every which way. Every which level is foul.
Yeah, it's foul and nasty. Mike, a fair
it's nasty,
foul.
Yeah.
Mark has been spreading the hurt.
Let me tell you something. You know, Derek Jeter may have had the gift that kept on giving too, but he kept it under wraps. Maybe the Cowboys got a hold of it. That's one thing. But he did not go on social media and tell the world, hey, man, I got that special gift. And I got it from the girl you used to smash on Smash Williams Wednesday. Like, what is wrong with you people? See, this is why I separated my millennial generation from his millennial generation. His millennial generation don't know how to think. My millennial generation still got a brain cells left. So that is totally foul. Like, foul to the nth degree.
Don't forget about Rod Mexico. I was going to say that too.
Yeah, I know.
He got it from his brother.
I was wondering who was going there.
I didn't want to do it.
It ran the family. I was going there, but Vaughn actually said it. I thought I said it. So I had to give him the credit first, and he said it first. Justin, fair or foul, man? Spreading the hurt.
Come on, man. It's foul. It's foul on so many levels, man. I don't even have to explain it.
Last fair foul before we get up out of here.
Even the word is foul.
Vegas having you bet now on Super Bowl odds and picks. Fair or foul to go ahead now and get bet in Vegas?
You want me to go first?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to speak from the Vegas' standpoint. It's absolutely fair. Absolutely fair. This is when you get the best odds. You really don't know. Everything is fair, okay? You don't know who's going to have a breakout season, anything like that. And, you know, if you win, you're going to get big money if you put on a long shot. And if you lose, well, you know, that's Vegas, baby. They're not built for winners.
I also say fair, but I brought the question up because a lot of people say they don't like it and they think that it's stupid and foolish, but then again, they're not gamblers, so only gamblers could understand this, in my opinion, rather why it's fair. Everything you just said is absolutely true. Micah, fair or foul? Betting on Vegas is early. You think it's foul? Vegas trying to take people's money?
No, I mean, if you don't care, well, do your thing. I mean, they are in the business of making money, and they don't care how they do it. They'll take bets. They'll take top bets on those games. Like, if you got a game with Miami Dolphins and Dominican Sioux, there's an over-under on how many dirty plays he may actually be involved in, how many dirty tricks he may actually pull. Hey, Vegas wants to make their money, no problem. Unlike the governments who want to take our money from enjoying our fantasy drafts, you know, let the bros make that money without you having to get in the way. Appreciate you.
Real fast, Wally, we're out of here. Fair or foul?
It's fair. I'm all about money. I love making money. I love gambling, so it's fair. Give me
the
opportunity to make money.
Here comes the money. Listen, guys, we're going to get up out of here. Do not wake up tomorrow morning and say to yourself, I love me some me and don't love God because that's crazy. Read a book. Not just Facebook. Baltimore Orioles up next, y'all. Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP. Hope well. See y'all mañana.
If you're not down with that, we are.